It was in the seminary that I first heard this parable of the wise old man and the boy with a butterfly. So there was this wise old man who would go from village to village, town to town, and along the way he would stop and people would queue up in front of him to ask him questions of life, and he would be able to give them answers that they'd never thought of. In one such village, one day, as he stood, he saw a young boy, barely a teenager, standing. Now, this boy would often, in his village, he had a nasty habit. He would often go to people with a butterfly in his hand. And he would go to people and say, "Well, is this butterfly alive or dead?" If they said the butterfly was dead, he would let the butterfly go free. And if they said the butterfly was alive, he would squish the butterfly in his hands and say, "Well, you're wrong. The butterfly is dead." So the wise old man went to this kid and says, "Well, what's your question for the old man?" The boy had this mischievous grin on his face, and he stretched out his fist to the wise old man and he said, "Well, if you are that wise, tell me, is this butterfly alive or dead?" The man looked worried. He thought hard, and then looked at the boy straight in his eye, and he said, "Son, whether this butterfly is alive or dead is in your hands. The choice is yours." I want you to hear today's first reading one more time and see how the parallel between this parable and the reading becomes clearer. Sirach says, "If you choose, you can keep the commandments. They will save you. If you trust in God, you too shall live. He has set before you fire and water. To whichever you choose, stretch forth your hand. Before the man are life and death, good and evil. Whichever he chooses will be given to him." I think today's first reading and the gospel reading, they're really about making choices. Before I go forward, though, just a word about the gospel reading. I must put that in the context to which it belongs, otherwise we lose the significance of the entire reading. Now, do you remember that about 2 weeks back, the gospel reading was the Beatitudes? Last week, Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world." Now, the Beatitudes, the analogy of the salt and light, and today's gospel reading, they're all part of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. So as I said, Jesus had just spoken the Beatitudes. He had just drawn the analogy of the salt and light, and it is my argument that the rest of the Sermon on the Mount is practical ways in which a disciple must choose the kingdom of God. Or if the disciple lives out what Jesus is laying forth to them, then Jesus says the kingdom of God is yours. You remember that from the Beatitudes. And so, Jesus says to his disciples, this is today's beginning of today's gospel reading, "Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But as Sirach says, the choice is in our hands. Now, I don't know if Father Chris does this or not, but I always try and draw three practical implications from the homily, from the readings for each one of us. So here are my 3 points. And at some point you say, enough, Father, I'll stop. Okay? Good. Is that okay? 3 points? Not too much. It's a classical method, so I'm going to follow that. Okay. 4 areas. Jesus brings up 4 areas for consideration. What are they? Anger, lust, divorce, and oaths. You heard the gospel reading. But Jesus makes it clear that as followers of Jesus, our life and our relationships must not be dominated by these 4 things. In other words, in our relationships and our lives, we are not the kind of people who act out of anger, lust, infidelity, or lack of integrity. That's the bottom line. Now, I don't know if you heard this or not, but back at Immaculate, the last 2 weeks back, something very tragic happened. Somebody has not just vandalized, but committed an act of sacrilege against the shrine that we have, right? I mean, someone has taken red paint and painted all the statues red. And Mary, if you see the shrine, it's a larger than life-size statue of Mary. Someone has written on the platform in big letters, 666. Drawn the pentagram there, you know, so it's a devilish thing. So we think that, and we're all devastated by it. Everybody's sad. You know, how can somebody do this to something that is so holy? Now, many people are upset, is sad, even angry. But last week we decided that we are not going to act out of anger. We went on our knees, the entire parish, for all the 3 masses. We went on our knees and we prayed a decade of the rosary in compassion and forgiveness. We prayed for repentance and forgiveness for this person. Now, sometimes when the crime is more personal, it's harder to forgive. Or in a culture that is so sensual, it's not easy to be without lust or to covet what is not your own. Or sometimes it's difficult in a marriage to get beyond marital infidelity. Or how many people will tell you, it's okay, a small white lie, that's okay. But Jesus is saying, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Here's the bottom line. Jesus is raising 4 areas for a disciple to consider. And each one of us must. Because Jesus says, anyone who breaks the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And the choice is ours. Point number 2. The kingdom of God. Least in the kingdom of God and greatest in the kingdom of God. Why does Jesus point again to the kingdom? Now I think most of us would agree, the most common interpretation of the kingdom of God is that it is heaven. Right? You ask anybody, what is the kingdom of God? They'll tell you it's heaven. Now, the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us heaven is not a place. So it's not that we're going to get somewhere. Heaven is a state of life. Heaven is when we have the fullness of God. Doesn't matter where we are, it is when we have the fullness of God. In other words, heaven is not only what we look forward to in the future, the kingdom of God or heaven is also wherever we encounter God. So in this Eucharist, we encounter God in a real way. In a small way, here is the kingdom of God. This is also heaven in a very small way. So when Jesus is saying to his disciples, here are practical ways that you must live out the kingdom of God, Jesus is saying that the choices that we make makes heaven possible or not. For us and for other people. So if we act out of anger, we're not making heaven possible. But if we act out of compassion and forgiveness and love, then we make heaven possible, the kingdom of God possible. In each of these areas, Jesus is saying, let the kingdom be in your midst now. Let God reign in your midst now. Let God be in your mind and your heart and in your choices now. If you do so, then the kingdom of God is yours. Tired yet? Third point. Hey, if you don't complain, I'm going to keep going. So, okay. Third point, just for a moment, I would like us to shift our focus on Jesus. I want us to shift our focus on Jesus. It was one thing for Jesus to preach the kingdom of God, but it was quite another to hang on the cross as his enemies jeered at him and as his mother grieved for him. But as Sirach says, before man are death and life, good and evil, whichever he chooses will be given him. But the only problem in the case of Jesus was he would choose life by dying, and he would choose death if he chose to live. It's a very difficult choice. But in his commitment and surrender to God, in choosing death, he stays faithful to God and to the people around him. And he does that in the forgiveness he offers to his enemies. He stood by the truth. His yes was a yes and his no was a no. Here was a man of integrity. So in his choice, Jesus fulfills the law. Through his death, he became the greatest in the kingdom of God. By choosing what God wanted him to, he became the greatest in the kingdom of God. By his death, Jesus became the Beatitudes. So what Jesus was, every follower of Christ must be. What Jesus did, every follower of Christ must live in their lives. I think that's the readings today. I pray that as we come to Christ, that we can think of Christ standing here today and preaching the Sermon on the Mount to us. And he says to us, folks, really, God is here with us and can be in a fuller way. I want to offer the kingdom of God to you. Please come. Please come. Take my life and make my life the most important value for your own self. Live by my virtues. That's the invitation today. I pray that each one of us may respond, that each one of us may find ourselves to be greatest in the kingdom of God. And the people of God said, amen. Do that like a Baptist would do. And the people of God said, amen.